Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. It's the 3rd of October 2020. My name is Jan Shaw, known as the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and thewebalchemist.net, and on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Well, what an amazing week we've had. Lots and lots of things going on. Today's show is titled Trump Test Positive, Debate and Voter Fraud. So we all had quite a shock late on the 1st, which was Thursday night, that Trump had tested positive for COVID-19. And so has Melania and several other people connected with the White House, but not President, Vice President Pence, interestingly enough. And Q has been silent about this. I was hoping to see some Q drops on the subject, but there's been nothing, actually, I think, since the 1st, or even, yeah, his latest drops were actually on the 1st. And, you know, whenever something like this happens, we all have to kind of read between the lines, knowing that the Patriots in control, they have the plan, they know the deep state playbook. So I was pondering what might be the real story behind this. And there are many Anons, of course, who have been digging into this. And my first thought was perhaps this was a ploy to be able to prove that HCQ actually works, although interestingly there has been no mention of HCQ in the reports on Trump. I did wonder whether by proving HCQ worked that would give the people the confidence to go and vote in person. I'm going to talk a little bit later about the voter fraud, the mail-in voter fraud. The other thing that was interesting is that Q has been talking in many drops about 10 days of darkness. And one of the things that was picked up was the fact that now the recommendations for people who have COVID, particularly if the symptoms are very mild, is that they should quarantine for 10 days, not the 14 days that was originally stated. So I'm going to look into some of this with you. And I also want to point out the Q drop number 4800, which was put out on October 1st. And it's again a movie poster of, all in red, hunters become the hunted. Below the depths of the DC swamp, the hunt is on. And we've had many drops saying rig for red and red October. So we could well be in that period of time in October when things go dark. And many people think that Trump is isolating himself in order to be in a safe place while arrests happen, the arrests of the deep state. Of course, we're all hoping for that. We'll have to see what happens. There have been predictions. I think it was Santa Surfing, the beach broadcast, said that HRC, Hillary Clinton, would be the first big name to be arrested. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. She claims to have insider sources, But I think we have to keep the faith that this is all part of the plan. I certainly feel that way, although I am praying for President Trump just in case, you know, he has got the virus, although I pray for him every night. And it's been interesting to see the different reactions from the two sides here, the White Hats and the Patriots versus the Democrats. And we've had some horrific posts from some of the Democrats wanting Trump to die, and it really shows their true colours. And then we've got prayer groups. There was a prayer group of bikers, and there were people outside the Walter Reed Hospital who were all supporting Trump. And actually, Trump sent out his people. I don't know who it was exactly. They had masks on, so I couldn't tell. There was a short video of them being given signed chocolate bars and thanks from Trump for coming out and supporting him, which is lovely. So there've been lots of prayers for Trump. I'm sure the prayer warriors will be the ones to defeat the evil messages from the deep state. I certainly believe that's to be true, because of course, as we said all along, God wins. Now, I did want to go through a couple of things that are very interesting. I've said many times that Trump communicates in code, and a lot of the Anons use the Gematria decode to really decode what he says in his tweets. And he will deliberately misspell things so that that code is actually transmitted to those who are aware of this. And so I want to just highlight a couple of the tweets that he sent out. So obviously he sent out a tweet about testing positive, and then there was a tweet with him saying he was going to be going to Walter Reed Hospital. And then this was at 9:35 p.m. This was on the 2nd, yesterday. He tweeted out, "Going well, I think. Thank you to all. Love." And Gematria, how I've learned about it, is that it is the capital letters that are significant in his tweets. And the Anons identified, or, you know, noticed that when Trump put "well," it wasn't two L's, it was an L and a capital I. And then, so the letters, the capital letters are G, I, as in I, as in the last letter of "well," I, T, and then "love," all in caps. And when I decoded this, I haven't actually got the what you do is you count up the numbers that the letters represent in terms of their place in the alphabet. I haven't actually written down the total, but decoded, that said, "I'm fine." And then the next tweet, which was "doctors, nurses and all at the great Walter Reed Medical Center and others from likewise incredible institutions who have joined them are amazing. Tremendous progress has been made over the last 6 months in fighting this plague. With their help, I am feeling well." And when I added up the numbers for the capital letters in this one, it said, "Do not fear." And if you'd like to delve into Gematria, you can actually decode these numbers, which is what I did. Just Google Gematria, G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A. And then you can put the sum of the letters, the number, into the site, and it'll decode. And you get a list of options. So it's really a case of finding the one that you consider to be the most appropriate for the message that you're decoding. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out in that tweet apart from the significance of the gematria interpretation, is again he has referenced the plague. And I've said before, and others have interpreted this reference to the plague as being the deep state. And tremendous progress has been made over the last 6 months in fighting this plague. I think he's saying that, you know, there's been so much declassification, the deep state have been exposed, the corruption has been exposed, Obamagate has been exposed, so much. Biden has been exposed, Biden and his family, for their corruption. So perhaps we're moving to the point of now actually making arrests and indictments. And somebody posted an article saying Gitmo to prepare for high-level prisoners. Now, I thought I'd seen that put out a couple of years ago, but it's now surfaced again. So maybe that's also a hint that these people, if they haven't already been arrested, are going to be. And, you know, many people have said that they're already in Gitmo. So maybe this is the actual disclosure of the fact that these people have been arrested, rather than the actual arrests themselves. Maybe that's what this is all about. And of course, the 10 days of darkness have been said to be when special broadcasts will be put out to actually reveal the truth, and that the mainstream media will be shut down from putting out their false narrative so that the truth can be told to all the people who are still asleep. So that could be very significant as well. So I think we'll just have to wait and see what happens. There were a couple of articles by Epoch Times on the subject of Trump and Melania's positive test result. I think we probably know most of this by now, but just let me read a little bit of each of these. This was October the 2nd. President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19 on Thursday. Trump, 74, said he and his wife would, in quotes, begin our quarantine and recovery process immediately. We will get through this together, he added in a social media statement. Now, the other thing that the Anons have been interpreting from the, he put this in a tweet, is that together, which is all in caps, is actually referring to get her, which is why people think that HRC might be the first arrest or the first disclosure of arrest. I mean, we've seen versions of Hillary Clinton that really don't look like her. They're either body doubles or clones. But so it may be, again, the disclosure of the fact that she has been arrested. And of course, we've had recently the news that the Clinton Foundation was being investigated again. Definitely in the spotlight, certainly. The First Lady, 50, later announced on Twitter, as too many Americans have done this year, the President and I are quarantining at home after testing positive for COVID-19. We are feeling good and I have postponed all upcoming engagements. Please be sure you are staying safe and we will all get through this together, she said. Sean Conley, physician to the President, said in a memorandum released by the White House that both Trumps are, in quotes, well at this time and they plan to remain at home within the White House during their convalescence. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines advise people who have been in close contact with a COVID-19 patient should quarantine for 14 days because the incubation period for the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party virus, can last up to 2 weeks. As I said, that has actually been revealed to be outdated now, and it's now 10 days. The CCP virus causes COVID-19, a disease that kills a small percentage of patients. White House aide Hope Hicks tested positive for COVID-19, Trump confirmed earlier Thursday. Trump, speaking to Fox News' Sean Hannity in a phone interview, said that he and the First Lady had just gotten tested for COVID-19 because of Hicks' diagnosis. Trump said he and his wife spend a lot of time with Hope and others. It's very, very hard when you're with people from the military or from law enforcement and they come over to you and they want to hug you and they want to kiss you because we have really done a good job for them, and you get close and things happen, he added. Hicks was wearing a mask when flying with Trump this week. Now, some of the anons have pointed out that a previous drop by Q was an image of Trump on, I presume, Air Force One, facing some other people on the plane. And Q said, and I'm doing this from memory, you know, watch the people in the background. And one of the anons pointed out that Hope Hicks was one of those people. So many things to decode here. I mean, other people have said that this statement by Trump about, you know, people from the military or law enforcement coming over and they want to hug you could be a reference to a potential deliberate infection of Trump with COVID-19. Other people have suggested that it could have been delivered through the actual test. And of course, the tests themselves have been really questioned in terms of their reliability and the actually ability to detect the actual virus. So there are lots of people that are very suspicious of this. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Trump has started tweeting again. His latest tweet today has just come in. Our great USA wants and needs stimulus. Work together and get it done. Thank you. And it's all in caps except for the thank you. I maybe will have a look at decoding that later as well. So just going back to the article, a White House official told news outlets late Thursday contact tracing has been done and the appropriate notifications and recommendations have been made. Moving down, Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence tested negative for COVID-19 on Friday, as did Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, and White House advisers Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. And then the article includes a series of tweets in support of the Trumps and also some of the very negative tweets that have been put out. I won't go into those. And then there's another Epoch Times article, which is a follow-up, which is from yesterday, the 2nd. Trump moves to offices at Walter Reed, makes first public appearance after COVID-19 diagnosis. Update, President Donald Trump is doing very well and is beginning remdesivir therapy, White House physician Dr. Sean Conley said in a memorandum Friday evening. Now, I'm really suspicious of this. Why isn't he receiving HCQ? Maybe he's already he is on HCQ and that this is all, you know, a false story to cover up his removal from being in danger. I mean, there have been reports of many attempts to assassinate him. And having promoted the use of HCQ so much, it's strange that he's not actually saying anything about HCQ. And John Rappaport actually put out an article yesterday. Actually, it might have been this morning, I think, in my morning email, basically addressing Sean Conley and saying, don't give Trump these experimental drugs, and certainly not in combination. And he was concerned that he's going to be put in in a dire medical condition by using these drugs that are actually do more harm than good. So this just may be for optics again. I certainly hope so. But I do believe we have to trust the plan. And going back to the gematria, I'm fine, do not fear. I think everything's under control. This is just for the media. President Donald Trump has moved to the presidential offices at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, where he will work, the White House said. The president left the White House at 6:20 p.m. Friday in a navy suit and blue tie. He wore a mask as he walked on his own without any outward sign of trouble. He gave a thumbs up and a short wave to reporters but didn't take questions. The president was followed by White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and others. And that I found interesting because if he's in quarantine, then why is he in the company of Mark Meadows and others, even wearing a mask? That just kind of stood out at me as something strange. And also noticeable, which was again pointed out by several anons, the video showing him walking to the helicopter showed him, as he got close to the helicopter, he tapped his leg once with his right hand. And then when he got to the top of the stairs into the helicopter, he tapped the handrail 3 times. And anons believe that this is code of some sort. Nobody has really come up with a good interpretation yet. But certainly it's something that the citizen journalists, the digital warriors, are looking into. Now, there's another interesting thing that popped up. This was shared on Twitter by MonkeyWorksUS at mil_ops, military ops. And this was put out yesterday. And the tweet says, "Eyes on, Trump tests positive for COVID-19. Doomsday planes mobilize in Washington." And this is an article from news.com.au, so from Australia. And it says, "America's doomsday planes are in the air following news that the nation's commander-in-chief, President Donald Trump, has COVID-19. Two U.S. Navy E-6B Mercury nuclear war command posts were observed in flight Friday, one on each coast of the United States. They were initiating the Take Charge and Move Out, TACAMO, defense protocol, essentially dispersing the command and communications facilities needed to control the U.S. nuclear arsenal. These aircraft are activated by the Pentagon when it is deemed necessary to communicate with the U.S. Navy's secret nuclear missile submarines, stealth bombers, and missile silos. The move underscores the potential severity of the situation. The President of the United States is also the Commander-in-Chief of the nation's armed forces, including its nuclear forces. The incapacitation of whoever holds this position could be seen as an opportunity by potential belligerents." The two E-6Bs appeared on flight tracking systems 30 minutes before Trump announced his condition. It's no accident the aircraft was seen. Military aircraft and ships usually fly with their radio identification transponders turned off in order to avoid being tracked and identified. If it is on, it's because the aircraft wants to be seen. In being seen, the US Pentagon is sending a subtle but clear message that it is prepared for any eventuality. Doomsday planes. Based on Boeing 707 airliner airframes, the E-6B aircraft have been built to be particularly resistant to electronic warfare and the electromagnetic pulse generated by nuclear bursts. About 16 of the aircraft were delivered from 1986. The fleet underwent a major upgrade in 2006. Their job is to get into the air in the time of crisis, but an unknown number is also maintained aloft at any one time. In the event of war, their job is to relay commands from the President and Defence Secretary directly to the deterrent nuclear force. The heart of this force are the Ohio-class nuclear ballistic missile submarines hiding deep in the world's oceans. Their immense payloads of nuclear missiles constantly threaten the prospect of a devastating retaliatory blow. So it shows some charts of where these aeroplanes are. And underneath it says, I would expect them to pop up if he tests positive. US open source intelligence hobbyist Tim Hogan tweeted with flight tracking maps identifying the flights. It's the plane that has the ability to order the killing of everyone on Earth if someone attacks the US with nukes in a first strike. It can talk to our missile subs underwater even if DC is gone. I don't think there's any likelihood of that happening, just to say that. It does talk more about command and control and so on. The US Constitution deals with the prospect of a president who is physically or mentally unable to discharge his duties. The role shall devolve on the vice president, it states. But nobody is saying that Trump isn't capable of continuing with his duties as president. But it's very interesting that this should have happened in coordination with Trump's announcement of having COVID-19. And again, you know, the Anons have been looking at this, and many think that this is because when the arrests are announced, there is going to be a major retaliation by the deep state. And so they have everything in place to actually, you know, shut that down. And MonkeyWorks US put out another tweet, and this has got an image of an airplane, and it says, just a point of clarity, this is the original Doomsday plane, also referred to as Night Watch, and looks very similar to AF-1, Air Force One. The others are E-6s with similar capabilities, but are commonly referred to as Looking Glass. All are airborne command centres. And it's interesting, the reference to Looking Glass, because we've talked in the past about the Looking Glass project. Somebody puts on in the response, Project Looking Glass isn't the same as the Airborne Command and Control Center Operation Looking Glass. But many say Project Looking Glass is also run by the US Navy. Maybe the plane is doing a little bit more than we know. And as another comment, well, Sidney Powell did mention in the Flynn hearing rabbit hole and looking glass, which seems odd and a very specific choice of words. So again, you know, we're looking into what the significance of this is. And it was, again, a previous Q drop that said that Trump would be isolated and protected on Air Force One. So it makes you wonder whether he actually is in Walter Reed Hospital, or if the helicopter was actually taking him to Air Force One, or this Doomsday plane that looks very much like it. I know we can speculate about everything, but there's a lot of interesting, you know, breadcrumbs that you can follow and clues that you can put together to really make you question the official narrative, let's say. The last thing I wanted to say on this is just to point out that on September 16th in drop 4730, Q put out an image of a Mickey Mouse clock, and the hands were pointed to 10 and 2. So it's very interesting that these events should really start rolling out on the 2nd of October. I think it was a hint. Now, on the clock face, 8 of the minute markers after the 12 are in red. We're not quite sure what the significance of that is. unless it's taking us up to the 10th of October, perhaps, you know, 8 days after the 2nd. Again, that's still open to interpretation, and hopefully things will be revealed in the next few days. I want to move on now to the first presidential debate that happened on the 29th. And my first impression of this was how painful it was to watch. And I was just seeing lie after lie from Biden. It was very partisan with Chris Wallace as the mediator. And it seemed to me at the time that Trump wasn't responding very well to all these lies. He wasn't calling Biden out or contradicting him. But I've since read some interesting analyses of this, and I have changed my opinion significantly. And what occurred to me was that Trump doesn't actually have to counter all of these lies in the debates because the evidence is out there. And I actually listened to some clips from one of Dan Bongino's podcasts, and he was really talking about how it was strategically done by Trump to expose the contradictions that Biden has put out there between, in the debate, denying some of the things that he's stood for that are really supporting the far left approach to get the votes from the far left in terms of the Green New Deal and other things. And I'm going to be reading a few articles on this subject. But that Trump was really goading him to alienate the far left, to alienate the votes. And Don Mangino went into a lot of this in terms of the election vote numbers, that if Trump manages to secure a large percentage of the people who are registered Republicans, we know that not everybody turns out, but if he gets a large percentage of the Republican vote, and Biden loses a large percentage from people who are registered Democrats but who are not happy with the way that Biden contradicts his position on far-left policies, that this is going to lead Trump to win outstandingly in the election. And there is a report on AbsoluteNews.com, and this is very similar to Don Bongino's take on the debate, and it's titled "Chaotic Debate Exposes Biden's Weakness with the Far Left." On Tuesday night, September 29th, President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden met for the first debate, which could only be described as chaotic. Both men came prepared to brawl, and brawl they did. At times it felt more like a cage fight than a debate. Nonetheless, Biden may have engaged in some serious foul play against some of the voters he spent an entire summer trying to woo. What Biden did last night ought to be considered political malpractice. In ordinary times, it probably would be. Rule number one is you never attack your voters. In essence, that's what Biden did last night. While many are declaring there wasn't a clear winner, that may not be accurate based on the following analysis. And incidentally, the polls are all showing that Trump was the winner of the debate, which is very encouraging. On issues of climate change, healthcare, and working with Senator Bernie Sanders, Biden threw the far left under the bus. It ought to be a lead story across the media, but it's not. Instead, the media is focusing on how over the top the debate was. Lost in the moment is that Trump may have managed to do something last night completely missed by many, separate Biden from far-left voters. Three statements that could come back to haunt Biden. Since May, when Biden all but wrapped up the nomination process, he has worked overtime to court the far-left wing of the Democratic Party. Unfortunately for him, he has been met with scepticism. Last night, Biden didn't help his case. There were three main points the former vice president made that could be pivotal. When we look back after the election at this debate, the consequences may be evident. Bernie Sanders' manifesto. Leading up to the Democratic National Convention, Biden and Sanders met regularly to create a plan ensuring they could defeat Trump. Biden's stated goal was to assure the far left had a say in the party platform to secure their votes in November. Minus Medicare for All and a few other minor issues, Sanders got everything he wanted and the moderates were left out in the cold. Last night, Biden reminded Bernie voters that he won't go far enough on their government-run universal health care agenda. Regardless, Biden denied working with Sanders to create what President Trump last night referred to as a manifesto. Adding salt to the wound, Biden was all too giddy to remind people that he beat Sanders and declared that he is now, in quotes, the Democratic Party, end quote. While that's true, did it do him any good to remind Sanders supporters whom he needs? Number two, the Green New Deal. Perhaps one of the most shocking statements of the evening came when Biden said he doesn't support the Green New Deal. When challenged by Trump, the former VP said, "The Green New Deal is not my plan." To gain clarity, debate moderator Chris Wallace asked him specifically if he supported the, in quotes, plan that calls for the US to meet 100% renewable energy, end quote. Biden responded, "No, I don't support the Green New Deal." However, Biden's new declaration runs contrary to the party platform he developed with Sanders. It further contradicts his website, which calls the Green New Deal a crucial framework. After the debate, one of the climate bill's creators, Senator Ed Markey, said, "We will pass a Green New Deal." Number three, packing the court. Over the weekend, Democrats began threatening to expand the Supreme Court with their own liberal judges to outnumber the conservative majority if they win the Senate and the presidency. It's called packing the court. For years, Biden has said the practice should be off limits and would serve no one. He elaborated that it would just create a new political opportunity for whichever political party was in power and would delegitimize the court. However, on Tuesday night, Biden refused to say what he would do as the Democratic voices grew louder. If he joins them, it could hurt him with moderates. If he doesn't, he gives the far left one more reason to be mad at him. Therein lies Biden's challenge. Trump set the trap and Biden took the bait. It's one thing for left-wing politicians to stay with Biden over their hate of Trump. It's questionable if the actual voters will remain with Biden. They could become so upset in the next month and feel like there isn't a big difference between Trump and Biden, possibly resulting in them staying home. The tightrope just got tighter last night for Biden. Stay tuned as the fallout from the debate continues to unfold. And the article's by Don Purdom, a freelance contributor. And then there's an article by The Federalist. Chris Wallace just gave the most embarrassing moderator performance in history. And there's a quote from Trump during the debate. "Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him." And there's a fact check against it, true. Debating one person is difficult, especially if he's had oodles of alone time in his basement to prepare, while you've been a little busy leading the country. Debating that person and a partisan media hack at the same time is just BS. That, however, was President Donald Trump's exact plight Tuesday night at the first 2020 presidential debate, when he was treated to a two-on-one showdown with his actual opponent, Joe Biden, and his honorary rival, Fox News moderator Chris Wallace. Wallace failed to maintain any control over the debate. Even members of the left pointed out what a chaotic disgrace the whole ordeal was. But after a while, it was hard to pay attention to anything but Wallace's Biden bias. Media moderators playing favourites with presidential contenders is nothing new, but Wallace's persistent partisanship reached a new low. From interrupting Trump but not Biden at nearly every turn, blocking the incumbent before he could correct mischaracterizations and flat-out lies from Biden to full-throated arguments with the president despite lobbing softball questions, or no questions at all, to the former vice president, Wallace's presentation was appalling. Wallace did the left's bidding. Who needs the leftist media swarming to fact-check Trump's claims from this debate when you have Wallace to recycle long-debunked claims? Vice President Biden, you say that President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville 3 years ago, when he talked about, in quotes, very fine people on both sides, end quote, was what directly led you to launch this run for president, Wallace said, framing his question as a Trump attack using a false leftist talking point to smear Trump as a white supremacist sympathizer. During the same segment, Wallace employed more Democrat talking points in what proved to be one of the most egregious exchanges of the night. Earlier this month, the Trump administration rightly announced it would be prohibiting federal agencies from subjecting their employees to woke critical race theory and white privilege seminars. Although critical race theory is itself a racist and toxic framework of social study, which posits that white people are guilty oppressors based only on the colour of their skin and therefore lends itself to extreme remedies, such as looting as reparations, Wallace framed it nicely as racial sensitivity training. In quotes, this month your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory, Wallace said, couching critical race theory with the unobjectionable racial sensitivity phrase. Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training? Wallace doubled down on the term. The implication, of course, is that Trump himself is insensitive to racial issues. I ended it because it's racist, Trump replied factually. A lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools, all over the place. Trump's statements were true, but the truth wasn't good enough for Wallace, who asked like a genuine leftist, what is radical about racial sensitivity training? Trump didn't take the bait. They were teaching people to hate our country, and I'm not going to do that, Trump said. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And there's a screenshot of a tweet by Mark Hemingway. Chris Wallace calling critical race theory racial sensitivity training is totally ignorant of what's being taught. It is racist and anti-American. Appalling. And another tweet from David Limbaugh. Are you kidding me, Chris Wallace? You ask with a straight face and an accusatory finger, what's wrong with federal teaching of the indoctrination of critical race theory? Shame on you, Chris. Several times, Trump tried to talk about Biden's scandalous family business dealings concerning his son Hunter, which presented a gross conflict of interest while Biden was in office during the Obama administration. After Biden repeatedly lied, saying it was simply not true that Hunter received $3.5 million from the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow, in fact, a wire transfer and a Senate report reveal that's exactly what happened. Wallace always deflected closing out segments before Biden faced too much heat. We've already been through this, Wallace interrupted. I think the American people would rather hear about more substantial subjects. I'd like to talk about climate change. So would I, Biden replied. That worked out well. Of course, Wallace then proceeded to debate Trump on climate change, touting Obama's clean power plan, and using language seemingly intended to paint Trump as a science denier. A tweet from Ben Shapiro. Chris Wallace, over the course of the night, has moved from moderator to debater. Wallace failed miserably. This is to say nothing of Wallace coaching Biden about what his policy plans contain, or of coming to Biden's rescue when the former vice president couldn't name one police group that supported him, or of asking Trump the same question over and over about his tax returns, despite the president answering it, or of characterising Biden's defund the police position with the more palatable phrase community control of policing. Wallace proved himself a hack over and over, and it was disgusting. How are the American people supposed to discern between the two candidates and their positions when a third party injects himself into the debate in such an improper way, shirking his duty of moderating in favour of carrying out his anti-Trump agenda? Tweet by Sean Davis. Chris Wallace is making very clear that his goal tonight is to run interference for Joe Biden. If he wants to be a deranged never-Trumper, that's his prerogative. But Wallace is doing everything in his power to tilt the election toward his preferred candidate. Everyone can see it. Kylie Zempel. Too early to call a debate winner, but the loser is Chris Wallace. Jessica O'Donnell. Biden. I can't keep track of all his ranting. Wallace laughs. I'm having trouble myself. The mask is slipping, Chris. Jeremy Boring. Chris Wallace is actually coming off worse than either candidate. Sean Davis again. There's a super easy way to figure out if you completely failed in your only job as a debate moderator. If anyone is talking about you instead of the candidate, you failed. Tonight, the number one thing people are talking about is how the debate, not moderation, was awful. The American people don't want to see a cultural elitist prevent the two 2020 fighters from engaging in a verbal brawl. They don't want to see the candidates get shut down right before they're about to get angry and show their most authentic colours. And they sure didn't tune in to watch Wallace debate Trump. Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him, Trump said to Wallace during one of their scuffles. Fact check, true. So Wallace is getting a lot of pushback and a lot of criticism, and people have been demanding his being fired from Fox News. And there's also been a lot of talk by the mainstream media about Trump being a bully and interrupting all the time. Well, there's an article by Breitbart, and it says, Nolte, Joe Biden and Chris Wallace started it by interrupting Trump numerous times first. This is by John Nolte. It was Joe Biden and Chris Wallace who set the tone for the first presidential debate, who deliberately rode the debate off the rails, because it was Joe Biden and Chris Wallace who interrupted Trump a handful of times before the president decided, if that's how you want to play the game, let's play the game. It says you can watch the full debate below, and what you will see is a civil debate until Joe Biden and Chris Wallace decided it was okay to start interrupting the president. The article goes on, Trump answered the first debate question about the Supreme Court without interruption. Biden answered the first debate question about the Supreme Court without interruption. Then Trump started responding to Biden's answer, and that's when Wallace and Biden began cutting him off and interrupting. And it's got the transcript below of that section or segment of the debate. I'm not going to read all this. I want to cover a couple of other things. But again, look at that. I'll share the link for the YouTube video description. And then we have an article by American Thinker. Title is Shut Up, Clown, Fool, Liar, The Vile Debate Spewings of Joe Biden. It's by Monica Showalter. Joe Biden was in some kind of foul, putrid mood at the debate last night. Many people have cited memorable lines from the contentious political slugfest, but the lines that stand out are the grotesquely disrespectful ad hominem insults Biden directed at the President of the United States. The Rev.com transcript shows tons of them. He's a fool on this. Everybody knows he's a liar. Will you shut up, man? Keep yapping, man. He's the racist. He's Putin's puppy. He never keeps his word. Well, it's hard to get any word in with this clown. You're the worst president America has ever had. What kind of argument for civility and decency and dignity, all words Biden uses ad nauseum, is that? Some kind of bottom has dropped out. Some of these insults were so disgusting they actually made viewers feel sorry for President Trump, which is frankly a feat. Trump can give as good as he gets, but he made no such ad hominems comparable to those. There was one part of the debate where he called Biden not smart, but at least he had some academic records to back it up with. In fact, in all of his oppositional statements to Biden, he had some kind of fact. He wasn't just pulling disembodied insults out as Biden did. Biden had no such backing for his insults, some of the most disgusting words hurled at a president of the United States to his face ever heard. Our worst enemies talk like that. Think Nicolas Maduro, Iran's mullahs, or Kim Jong-un, pre-peace talks. Which ultimately amounts to insults to the voters. Trump represents us, and most of us, I'm not talking about California's illegals, who created the popular vote majority, voted for him. So to hear those insults amounts to insults directed at us too. Normal candidates sell themselves to voters as something better than their opponent, trying to persuade us. But Biden wasn't interested in persuading. Far from being Mr. Decency, Biden sounded like the collective demon voice of the deep state, screaming its obscenities at exorcist Trump and the voters who brought him in. Which is about par, because Biden insulted a lot of little guys out on the campaign trail, calling them names like damn liar, hey fat, and you're full of shit. And of course, years back, he was the author of the kinds of uncivil hearings now taking place over the Supreme Court, introducing the US to the balking of candidates. That's led him to where he is now, flinging his disgusting insults straight to President Trump. Whatever that makes Biden, what's gone now is the notion that he's a decent guy, a civil guy, a dignity bringer, which is what his campaign has promoted him as. Many voters, as Thomas Lifson observed to me this morning, dislike Trump because they consider him crude and uncouth. Biden played Mr. Decency to that, but now that act is over. He's shown himself to be even more uncouth than President Trump, a nasty, insulting, little guy hating, dignity of office disrespecting screamer, who can't even back his insults up with facts. He loses the dignity, decency, civility advantage with some voters right there. Those voters can now decide if they want a crude guy with a good governing record or a crude guy without a good governing record who spews insults at both them and the office just because. So it seems to me if a candidate has nothing but insults to fling at the opposing candidate, then it means that he's really got nothing to offer. And I think we've seen that from Biden all along. And he's being called out for it, which is good. So now there's talk about what's going to happen with the second debate. And this is an article from the DailyWire.com. I'm only going to read a short piece of it. Moderator for second Trump-Biden debate worked as intern for Biden, staff assistant for Ted Kennedy. The second presidential debate scheduled for October 15th will be moderated by Steve Scully, the political editor at C-SPAN and host of Washington Journal, who once worked as an intern for Senator Joe Biden in college, later working as a staff assistant in Senator Edward M. Kennedy's communication office. So it looks like the next debate is also going to be moderated by a very partisan person. There were calls after the first debate to cancel the other two by, you know, the Biden camp and the left wing, probably because he lost and his performance was so awful. The other thing I wanted to mention, which I haven't got an article on this, but there have been many of the anons looking at screenshots from the debate, and it appears that there's a very high likelihood that Biden was actually wearing a wire, and many people have remarked on the colour of his eyes. Biden has blue eyes, and in the debate, his eyes were black, and many anons have linked this to contact lenses that actually transmit information. So, in effect, he was reading off a teleprompter in response to the questions and in response to Trump that were being transmitted via the contact lenses. Of course, you know, there's a lot of denials of this, but I just want to go back to quickly to a cue drop that was on this very subject. And this is drop 4787. And it's a screenshot of a previous cue drop put out on the 10th of September. And it says, debates. number one, Biden camp will find excuse stroke reason to terminate, and we did suspect that might happen. Number two, Biden camp will be provided the questions ahead of time. Number three, Biden camp will be provided the questions ahead of time and assistance in the form of a special communication device. And it includes three images of Biden, and one is a close-up of his ear, which is pretty hard to see, but it looks like there is a communication device in his ear. And there's a link to Fox News, Trump third party inspect ears electronic devices. And this was Trump saying he wanted a drug test, and he wanted the both candidates to be inspected for communication devices. And originally, I think Biden agreed, and then he changed his mind and he refused to do it. And under that, it says number three. In other words, that he was provided the questions and he was using a communication device. So, you know, Biden has to cheat because basically he's incapable of carrying on that sort of debate for an hour and a half unaided. And if he also requested a break every 30 minutes, which hardly identifies him as someone capable of doing the tough job that the President of the United States has to do. The last thing on this subject is there's an article by a Gateway pundit, and it relates to this attempt by the Commission on Presidential Debates to change the rules, and specifically looking at introducing mic cuts. I'll just read a portion of it. Later Wednesday, CBS News' Nora O'Donnell reported the commission is looking at cutting mics. Exclusive, CBS News has learned the Commission on Presidential Debates plans to issue strict new rules in the coming days that include cutting off a candidate's microphone if they violate the rules, per an informed source. So we all know how that'll work out. They'll cut the mic on Trump and they'll give Biden free rein. So again, more attempts to sabotage this debate process because they basically know that Biden can't possibly win. Again, I'll share that link so that you can read the whole article. The last thing I want to quickly cover is on the subject of voter fraud. And Project Veritas has done another exposé, this time on that subject. If you remember, they previously did one on the suppression of the interview with Virginia Giuffre in the Epstein case, which was supposed to be shown on ABC. So in this one, breaking new Project Veritas video exposes Representative Ilhan Omar connected cash for ballot scheme. This was put out on the 27th. The latest video expose from Project Veritas reveals a ballot harvesting scheme involving political allies and associates of Representative Ilhan Omar, according to the organisation. In undercover footage released on Sunday, the investigative journalists at Project Veritas found that Omar's campaign manager, Ali Issi Ghani, is a key player in the ballot harvesting scheme. The footage shows a man named Liban Mohammed saying that he was collecting the ballots to help his brother win the city's August 11 special election for a vacant Ward 6 council race, which was held the same day as the primary for Omar's Minnesota 05 congressional seat. And this article includes the video that James O'Keefe made. James O'Keefe is, of course, the founder of Project Veritas. And then there's another article by Western Journal this time, second video with major Ilhan Omar voter fraud allegations released as Minneapolis police investigate. The drumbeat of voter fraud allegations against Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota grew stronger Monday with the release of a second video from Project Veritas purporting to show ballot harvesting being conducted. The release of the second video in 2 days came as Minneapolis police said they were investigating the situation. So this explains why Trump is so anti-mail-in voting, because there's been so many cases of voter fraud being exposed and people being prosecuted that anybody in their right mind would realise that this is the way that the Democrats are trying to steal the election. The last thing, very quickly, is an article from thewatchtowers.org, and this comes as no surprise. Project Veritas head James O'Keefe locked out of Twitter after his nine-month-old tweet is copyright claimed. James O'Keefe gets locked out of Twitter after uncovering Democrat ballot harvesting scheme. Project Veritas has had its content restricted several times after copyright claims are filed on old tweets. James O'Keefe, the head of investigative reporting group Project Veritas, was locked out of his Twitter account after a private copyright claim was filed on one of his old tweets from January 13, 2020. O'Keefe has over 759,000 Twitter followers and has recently been using his account to promote Project Veritas's undercover investigation into election ballot harvesting. His recent tweets about the investigation have been generating thousands of engagements. But after this private copyright claim, O'Keefe was temporarily locked out of his Twitter account and unable to tweet. I apologise for the banging in the background. It seems a neighbour of mine is doing some hammering, so apologies for that. But that's all I have time for this week. It has been a very interesting and exciting week in many ways, and I think there's a lot more to come in the next 10 days or so. So I hope you've enjoyed listening. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week with more revelations to come on what is really happening as part of the plan. And I'd like, of course, to thank Nancy for producing. Just as a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and thewebalchemist.net. So thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.